Welcome back to another episode of It's All Bad. This is our holiday special. So whatever.
God,
it's all bad.
You sound so uplifted. Yeah. This is our holiday special.
We have another holiday special for
yes,
you.
Yes.
Direct from the USSR. What are we doing? We're not allowed to celebrate any holidays. But I hope you guys are having a great holiday. For real, though. Whatever you're celebrating. And we have two holiday stories, one from Keith and one from Reno.
Yep.
And then we'll come back after their stories. And Mike
we will
and,
tell
and
them
we're
going to
tell
yeah.
you some real
we'll
fucking
tell
holiday.
Well, that's right. Our stories are going to be better than their stories,
yeah.
but you have to listen to theirs to
yeah,
get
you gotta,
to them.
Yeah.
Reno's is deep. It's a deep cut.
Yeah.
And it's a family affair.
Get ready. This episode really does span a range.
Yeah,
this is and are we breaking this into two?
No, we'll do one.
We'll do one holiday special.
This is
with
nice.
Families, they need this.
That's right. So pick up that just pint glass full of eggnog and whatever else you're doing to just help yourself through the holidays. Do your meditation.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe go for a run. What else do people do?
Go see a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, movie. Well, no.
Cry quietly.
No,
cry quietly in another room.
Yeah.
That's always good. Let it out. Don't hold it in.
Because if they're going to see a movie, then they can't listen to us.
That's
so
true.
So scratch that. Do not go see a movie. Whatever you do, do not go see
it. The marketing team has spoken. I love it. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Don't go see a movie unless you're going to go see that Irishman. I don't know, but it's a lovely picture. I don't think
I
got to see
it
anymore.
Still.
It's fine.
I haven't seen
well, you can
it.
See it at home.
You can no. see it at home.
In your jammies.
The quality.
Bust out the jammies.
Parasite. I want to see Parasite.
Me too.
I'm throwing these things out. Maybe some one of those people would be like, hey, Mike. Like the director might call and be like, hey, I heard that
Martin
you.
Scorsese, my
Martin Scorsese might be like, I heard you like my picture and I thought maybe you want to come over to my house and watch it with me or something like that and brush my hair. And I would. I'll fucking do it, bro. I'll brush your hair. Anyway,
yeah, we got some great stories. Christmas in Chicago from Reno and then Christmas in Corona from Keith.
Ooh.
It's a good start. And then we'll be back to hear stories from
Christmas in Corona.
Danny
Christmas
and
in
Mike.
Corona. Fuck.
Oh, man. All right.
Thanks for joining us and happy holidays.
I mean, it's great. The sad thing is good for both of us. But it sucks that you and I don't have party stories together. Like, it feels like we should.
I think we should talk about. We got to figure out what stories we recorded that we need to redo.
Well, one is this Christmas story.
Yeah.
If do you feel are you excited to tell it?
Just hear those ring ting tingling ting ting tingling to you. Come on, it's lovely weather for us. Hey, right together with you. You know,
giddy up, let's go. Love it.
Ever since I have kids, man, I love Christmas.
Weather.
Dude, this is amazing. Oh, you kidding me? This is the best.
But anyway, who wants to set it off with the Christmas story?
Well, I think I'd love to get your, because we can get my Christmas story anytime. I'd love to get your Christmas story.
Yeah, it was.
Are we talking about the taxi or the Chicago life?
I think we're talking about the Chicago one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's.
Do you have a holiday story?
I'm trying to remember. I'm sure I got one.
We all do.
Yeah, I one time spent Christmas Eve, and New Year's in jail, which fucking sucked.
Oh, I've done that a bunch of times.
Yeah, goddamn.
Oh, man.
It's just brutal.
Just chestnuts
I don't know
roasting.
That I've ever done a prison term or a county jail. I've done a county jail, like 5 months in the county without hitting those. But every prison term I've done, I've spent all the holidays, Thanksgiving through New Year's in there.
That's brutal.
Like, I never caught, you know what I mean? Like, where it was like, well,
yeah,
I guess
like,
you'd have to go in, like, you know,
January
November. And get out. Yeah, I've never done that.
Did they let you have visitors during that period, or is it, how does that, or is it just normal schedule?
It's normal schedule, but I'll tell you, dude, The saddest part about the L.A. County Jail, you've never been in there during Christmas, right?
No.
The L.A. County Jail, Christmas time, they come around and give everybody a gift. It's so fucked up. It's like everybody will get, like, you know, a bottle of Carrie lotion or something and, like, a packet of hot cocoa.
Oh,
and a
wow.
fucking, like, some kind of shitty candy, you know?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that, to rub it in?
Yeah,
I mean, no pun intended. Yeah. I'm sorry with the Carrie lotion, but I mean, seriously.
Well, one year, my buddy was in there, and they gave out the Carrie lotion and the hot cocoa, and there was a paisa who you could trade your hot cocoa for a back rub with the lotion.
Oh, damn. Oh.
Get that massage on.
What was her name? Juanita?
No, it's like a straight paisa, I think.
That's crazy.
Paisa meaning... for the people at home,
Mexican national,
yeah.
But a man,
yeah, man.
Copy, and so then that massage would involve a
male on male.
No, just like a back rub.
Yeah,
I mean, don't I believe that.
No, I'm serious.
A back rub?
Yeah, but think about that. Like, even if you can't get a massage that cheap in Thailand. What's a packet of hot cocoa, Carnation hot cocoa, worth 80 cents?
Damn. No. I mean, it's a fantastic deal if it doesn't end. If it doesn't end in the.
Anybody that's letting somebody give them a back rub in there is not somebody that's like either they want to be punked or
yeah,
there's no way they're going to get punked. I remember I was in rehab with this little blonde, this little blonde dude that was like this kind of wiry, like tough for a little blonde dude. He was kind of like had been in county in San Bernardino County a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And I remember him sharing that he was forced by some big Southsider to give him a back rub. I was like, damn, that's fucking dark.
What was it?
I would have taken a beating, you know? So some little like wiry, like white boy from San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of thought he was a cholo. He like talked in Spanish a lot and shit. Like was, but he was sharing a group that he
straight
was,
looked like Bieber.
Yeah, like I mean, he kind of looked like
David Spade,
like a James Vanderbeek, but like a short, but like a short version. You know what I mean? But I remember him sharing that like some Southsider. He made him give him a back rub in there and shit. And like, and this big wood that was from prison, he's like, what else? He's like, no, that was it, man. It was just a back rub. He's like, and what else?
Yeah.
Just, you know, talking shit. But anyway, so let's get this story over with. This is definitely a dark story for me. Holidays, partying, running amok. I was...
running amok.
I was... it was like, you know, it was like, yeah, it was wintertime and I was running around the valley and I was on Prop 36. So I was like in and out of sober livings and outpatient drug treatment to like satisfy the courts. But you get a whole bunch of like do-overs in that. Like you could even get busted again and like they'll reinstate you and shit. Like, but, you know, it's just hard to put the plug in the jug, you know, when you're on a good one like that. But anyway, so... I had met this girl that was, well, these couple of girls that had this little place and they were here, living here to go to that makeup school in Burbank. I think it's called MUD. It's like makeup designery. It's like some fancy, I don't know. I guess girls come from all over the country to go there thinking they're going to like get to do makeup in the movies and television or something. And so they were like partying and they found their way into like the mix, you know? And, one of them, her and I kind of clicked up and started hanging out all the time. And she was from Chicago and she was kind of fucking wild. Like she was significantly younger than I was. I think I was like in my mid 30s and she was like, you know, 23 or something. But she was a little bit off the rails and definitely was like down for whatever. And so we were running around going crazy and doing drugs and fucking and in and out of all these different trap houses and situations
in the valley.
Yeah, in and around the valley in Hollywood. And we were hanging out a lot at that. There's an after hours on the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and fuck, I forget what the corner is, but it is this place that like goes from like, you know, 6 a.m. on into the afternoon. It's like this super dark place. Anyway, so we're partying there and hanging out or whatever. And it was getting close to Christmas. And I got the call from Tarzana, from my case manager at Tarzana. They're like, hey, look, you haven't been to group. You haven't been to test. we're going to have to send your case back to court unless you come in tomorrow and check into detox and, you know, get into the groove again. And she's just like, yeah, you know, do it. I got to go back to Chicago for the holidays. And, you know, like just, you know, she took me there and then she like came and visited me a couple days later and brought me some Xanax and a couple Norcos like in visiting and slid them across the table. And we were like, you know, totally in love, you know what I mean? You know, dope, sick love or whatever. And so she was like going back to Chicago and we talked all the time. And she's like, I'm going to go back to Chicago. I'm going to get clean. My parents are going to give me a car and I'm going to drive it back out here. You should come out to Chicago with me, hang out for New Year's, and then we can just drive this car back out to LA. So I like got out, went to my mom, stayed clean, did Christmas, hung out and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just like 8 days or nine days or something. But I was on unemployment then. I was getting like $1,800 a month, you know, and like she bought me a plane ticket to go back there. And I got my unemployment check. I remember I came out to LA to pick it up at my address out here and cash it at the check cashing place. And then I had these girlfriends that had this dry cleaners in Studio City that they, these two sisters, and they like got high and they would be there all night, like doing the dry cleaning, but they would just be getting fucking loaded.
No
all
way. Kind
of crazy shit. Wow. Yeah. Right there in that little shopping center where on Vineland and Ventura where that Ralph's is, it's kind of nice. It's kind of upscale.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they got away with it, but like literally like, dude, we'd be coming and going and doing all kinds of shit there all night.
You'd be in the dry cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dry cleaners back there in the office and just like, no, anyway. So I was, you know, I got my check. I got high on speed. I bought some heroin. I went back to my mom's house and I ended up kind of like, I was supposed to fly to Chicago the next day. And whatever, like through a couple of series of events, I ended up finally making it to the plane and out to Chicago. And she picked me up and I was just fucked up, like totally fucked up. And she was just like, she saw me and she was like totally triggered, right? So she calls some people that she had back out here to send her dope back there. So they like sent her like a 16th of speed, like rolled up in a videotape in the reels of a videotape.
Yeah.
They like overnight or 2 day FedExed it or whatever. And so I'm just coming down, burning out, sleeping, like kind of like, holy shit, I'm in fucking like Naperville or whatever that city is right outside of Chicago. I'm in like the Chicagoland area, you know, they call it like outside the city. And her parents have this big house and her mom's kind of like giving me a pass the first couple days I'm there, like kind of get my bearings together, whatever. But then her family had this apartment in the city on Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, wow.
On the lake, like 35th floor of this big, beautiful building. Like I've recently been back to Chicago. It's like the fucking neighborhood in Chicago, you know,
Lakeshore
Drive. And so we go there with the dope. We get there, you know, we go to some like sex shop and she had like this credit card with, she had gotten the Prius. They gave her a Prius and she had like this credit card with a bunch of, you know, with a high limit on it. So we bought a bunch of fuck toys and lube and liberators and fucking toys and everything else and went to this apartment and just locked it down and started getting crazy for, you know, I don't know, a couple days.
Doing speed or heroin?
Doing speed. And then, and then we're kind of like checking in with her family. Like we're supposed to kind of do some kind of get together at some point or whatever. But at this point, we're just kind of off the rails, kind of going crazy. But her cousin comes to the place and she's this girl. She kind of walks in on the scene, you know, like, oh, fuck. So she tells her mom like that, you know, I didn't know this at the time. We left and I ended up getting a hotel room in some other part of town. And at this point, I needed dope. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm way too tweaked out. Like, I need heroin. But in New York or in Chicago, it's like a whole different trip. You have to go down to like the gang areas and you have to buy, like you see on TV shows, you have to buy from like gang members and shit. So I'm trying to like figure out the lay of the land. And I'm like, fuck. I look up a methadone clinic on her phone. We go to this methadone clinic and they give me some methadone and I kind of like starting to chill a little bit. Then we like find the area to get the dope or whatever. And then we go back to this hotel room and she was a little bit off at that point. Like she started like acting out super crazy and being loud and like kind of banging shit around, wanting to fight with me. You know, she was like, she wanted that kind of interaction, and I just was not stoked on that at all, especially having the kind of like history that I had criminally. Like, I'm not trying to like be in, you know what
get
I mean?
Get arrested in Chicago.
No, one time we're like full on fucking, and she's just like, fucking hit me. Like, screaming at me like a hitter and shit. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll do some light choking a little bit, you know what I mean? But like, I'm not into all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, like, all, you know, we did everything under the sun and fucked six different ways from Sunday and did as much drugs as we can get our hands on. And then her mom like cut off the credit card. We went to a gas station to put gas in the car, and the credit card was shut off. And she was just like, oh, well, you know, we need to go back to my house because we have to do this dinner with like her brothers. And I had met her younger brother, but she had like an older brother that was like that was like a baseball coach at some community college, like right there near where they grew up or whatever. And I'm always super respectful around family. Obviously, I'm being mad disrespectful and disrespecting the hell out of this booty every chance I get. You know what I mean? But I'm just like, when I'm in the presence of her family, I'm definitely trying to like act right. And there's a lot of shame that comes with being in that condition around people's families. So we go back to the house, and I'm just kind of trying to keep it together. Her brother's there, and he's just this fucking, you know, like big bald head, like yoked dude. It's made me feel like, made me feel like this fucking big, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh shit. So we're sitting there and he's just kind of like, you know, being kind of cool and chill and kind of having a little bit of banter with me. And all of a sudden the mom comes tearing into the house and she's like, can one of you guys help me out? I can't figure out how to shut the car off. She had been like driving, I guess they had another Prius, I think. So anyway, what ends up happening is like, you know, like I told you, I'm trying to be like Mr. Helpful, respectful guy around family. So the mom's like, can you guys help me? I'm like, absolutely. I jump up and I'm run outside and like go to like help her turn off the car. And the brother just walks out behind me and it's like 8 degrees, probably 8 below. And I ran out there without my jacket on. And he's like, you're going to want to stay out here for a little while. And I'm like, oh shit, what's up? He's like, all of a sudden, I hear the sister and they're like yelling like, no, like shit, doors slamming, crashing, shit, fucking, I want to see him. I want to see him. Like the mom's like opening the door like every couple minutes and like throwing my jacket out and then like my suitcase and like armfuls of my clothes and shit. Like he's just like, yeah, this isn't the first time this has happened with her. Like whatever you guys are into, whatever. I'm not trying to like talk shit to you, but you know, you got to get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. I'm from LA. I'm in Chicago. I don't have any fucking money, dude. I don't even have a jacket.
Yeah. Are you broke?
I'm completely broke. Yeah. And I just, you know, so he's like, my mom booked a plane ticket for you. It's at the airport. I'm like, well, can you fucking drop me off at the airport? He didn't want nothing to, they didn't want anything to do with me, which I understand. But he's just like, you know, somehow or another, they like called a cab and they just gave me like a handful of money. I think it was like 50 or 55 bucks or whatever. So, yeah, they literally just like did an intervention on her right there in the fucking house and stuffed me in a cab. And at the airport,
did they pay for the cab?
They gave me like enough money. It must have been enough because I got dropped off at like a hotel. The flight wasn't until the next day. And I just was like, well, drop me off at one of these fucking hotels. And I like called my mom. My mom finagled somehow or another to get me a room after a few hours. And then there was a flight back to LA that had like 3 fucking layovers. Like one.
Oh, God.
One in Detroit. One in Houston. Another one in Phoenix or Vegas or something.
No way.
Yeah. And I got home and I kept getting fucking loaded. You know what I mean? I think I even, you know what, on my way out there, I had a layover in Arizona in Phoenix. I took a light rail into the city and copped in the city there.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dude, that's amazing.
It's cuckoo. I don't know. I used to tell that story with so much more like fucking fervor about like the whole experience. But, you know, it's now that I have kids, like I just have skin in the game of life and like war stories just kind of like have this whole new kind of thing for me. Like in that I don't know. Like, I just kind of like, I don't reflect on them as fondly as I once did. They used to be like,
yeah, that's interesting, right?
They used to be like a badge of honor, all the stripes and the shit I'd been through. And now that I have kids and I'm like kind of like a family man, I'm kind of like, ooh. So I was telling you on the way back in here, you know, I've done the steps multiple times and, you know, particularly the amends thing, there's like a couple people that I left high and dry in business because I was always the king of like building the empire up and then pulling it down on my head. And sometimes sure. there'd be victims, but mostly it's just family, maybe some ex-girlfriends, definitely some ex-girlfriends that I took hostage, you know, through my disease. But there's only a couple of people that I ever felt like I really had owed amends to, and it was that girl's mother. And I go to Chicago all the time on business now, and I, you know, and I fucking go there like, and have an incredible time. You know, I was just there in Chicago in the summer at a show at the Mart, right in the heart of the city, bopping around. And I always think about that girl and her family, her mom. And I was able to make an amends to her mom via email. Yeah. I didn't hear a response. She didn't get back to me, but the girl is always like, you know, she finally does makeup and is making money and is clean and doing well.
Lives here?
She lives in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
But she, you know, once in a while will comment on some of my posts or whatever. And I just hit her. I was like, hey, can I get your mom's email address? And I just sent her mom an email. I was just like, yeah, you know, like, I just pride myself on being like a stand-up dude and a man. And I displayed zero of the qualities that I hold to be valuable in this life. And like, it's all a direct, you know, of my addiction. And I have daughters and I can't even fucking tell you what I would do to somebody that came into my fucking house and acted like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't
that the thing, right, though, that these, and I think that that is the line that we're trying to walk with this show. And part of it is, and I think we've said this from the very beginning, it's like, this is not about victory laps, and those stories do change, right?
Yeah,
the stories of, but what's more interesting to me than just the events themselves, right? Is that like how that experience for you has affected you and changed you, and part of like, and it continues to evolve, right? Like that story, because I just remember when we recorded it the first time, maybe a year and a half ago, when we were doing this thing on cell phones and trying to figure it out outside by the old
house, yeah.
That it was, it did have a little bit more fervor still yeah. to it. And now that changes.
Yeah, because her and I fucking partied like all up and down this city, man. I mean, Nikki will tell you the story about when we were staying at the Tokyo Princess Inn on West Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, very chilly, like grabbed her debit card, grabbed the dope, went for a walk to get myself a coffee and a croissant, came back to her like naked on the balcony of the fucking hotel. Reno robbed me. Where is Reno? Screaming her fucking head off, you know, some black pimp was like a level below, like trying to size her up, you know yeah. what I mean? Like we went off the rails and like, yeah. granted, I mean, she was a willing participant in all of that sort of stuff, but it is heavy, man. When you start to kind of get through life a little bit further along and you kind of like,
dude, the valley's got some dark shit. I mean, I think that I'm with Mike. I think it's a great tale of caution. Like,
yeah.
It's not like you ended up in a good, you were fucked. You know what I mean?
Oh, big time. If it wasn't for. Well,
that's what Keith says, no yachts, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was never, no one was just like, yeah, this is it. Like, yeah, no, man. It never has been that. But you know, there is something that I do wonder, and I think maybe this is, maybe it is sort of romantic connection. Or
it
just the
it
idea
is romantic, though. Is
that,
like,
do you think that, yeah, right, is there more to be learned from that road less traveled, you know? And I don't know necessarily if there is, but if you do take it, then if you better learn from it.
I mean, 100%. I mean, right. Look, having the brakes completely off and just going, you know, 75 miles an hour with no brakes, getting high, bopping in and out of fucking houses and hotel rooms and fucking scenes and, you know, just maxing out with no responsibility and, you know, just completely throwing everything that even slightly resembles Caution to the Wind,
AKA
is a
youth.
Fucking blast.
Yeah. Right?
You know what I'm saying? Youth. It really
and
is
for
a blast.
Some people, youth is enough. Right?
Yeah, it's true.
The youth and the madness of it is enough, and that ends in a few beers and this and that and the other thing.
Yeah.
And
it's also so fucking lonely, though. I mean, but
that's the thing.
I think that people forget that and what Reno said. Like, because the reason you're going from this pad to that pad is you're just trying to not be alone.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I was telling, I told these guys, I was like, I would go to the, this is sad, but like, if I'm on a run with you and you're like, I got to go home to my old lady, then I try to go to Mike's. He won't come out. I go to Charlie's. And eventually,
you run out of people.
Oh, so many times I would go to the 24-hour Walmart.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'll find somebody in action here.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Whether I know them or not. And almost every time I did.
Or at the ice machine at the Motel 6.
Yeah. Hey,
what's up, man? Don't I know? You know Bob, right? Yeah, I fucking know that dude. I thought I saw his truck. Where are you guys chilling at?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something about just partying like that. Like, it's fucking, yeah, it's a blast, man.
Well,
when
you mentioned that thing about the house and how people would go there and it was isolated and stuff, and you could be there for a couple of days on your own, you know, just doing speed. To me, like, that sounds just terrifying,
yeah.
Right? Like, the idea, like, you know, it's hard enough for me, stone cold sober, to be with myself.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's, you know, I'm getting better at finding a peace with that situation. But, you know, and now I just replace it with television. AKA friend.
Yeah. That's the difference, though, between people that like addicts and alcoholics versus like people who just party. Like, people who just party have a little fucking hole in the wall apartment. They have a TV set and a couch and a bed and all this kind of stuff. But like, you know, the people like us who are the hardcore warriors are just blowing in and out of people's lives and never really shutting it down completely.
That's the trick.
I was at a house in Corona.
Is this Christmas?
Hey,
is
Corona.
This
a Christmas?
It is somewhat. It's a fucked
is
up.
It ever Christmas in Corona? I knew a fool who lived in Corona. Just not. I'm sorry. I just got to say this one thing because you're going to laugh. What the hell was that dude's name? His last name was Foster. And and people used to call him, that was his nickname, was Foster Freeze.
Oh, no way.
Shit. Yeah. And I was like,
I grew up in Corona. I'm from Corona, and I never knew anybody named Foster Freeze.
that was his nickname. He had a first name as well, and I don't want to say both names.
Yeah,
we
for
can
sure.
Bleep him out but I want to say the Foster part because that's the Foster Freeze part.
That's crazy.
And he was, I knew that dude was a maniac because he worked at a place that I worked, and after I got fired for threatening a kid at that place. It's a long story, and I think we've told it before on the podcast. But after I threatened some kid at a place, and then my boss came down and was like, yeah, I know, I just defended you about a half an hour ago, and then you had to wild out like a maniac, so this isn't going to work out. and then the real meeting happened about like 3 or 4 days later, and it was like, you know why you're here. It's like, yes, I do. But I left there. That guy hired me. Immediately
Foster
afterwards.
Freeze did,
fully knowing that that's how it's like, what happened? Oh yeah, that guy that one dude accused him of something that he didn't do, so he told him he was gonna beat him on the street if he ever saw him. And that would be a good idea. Oh cool, is that guy available? Can I get him on? Is he free to work? And then promoted me to, like, I had a better job.
Incredible.
After that,
incredible.
And I was like, and you're cool with the, I mean, really, this is, I,
what industry was this
about,
in?
Listen, it, the glamorous industry of post-production.
Okay.
Oh God, it's so sexy after all, everyone else leaves. and there, but no, yeah, this is back in the day, and it was, you know, that was my day job.
That's funny.
But yeah, that guy, I threatened somebody and he hired me, and he was from Corona. That's all I know. He was from Corona. But I'm sorry. I interrupted a story.
So, but I you know, like, I had this run where I was fucking around out in, like, Ontario, Rancho Cucamonga, that area. My friend, she was a dope cook, and I was out there with her, and, like, I'd done some things with her. We were cooking dope. I've told a story about this place in Ontario, and then somehow I got, you know, I got sidelined with some dudes in Ontario. Like, so now it's just me and this mix of dudes. One of them I had met, maybe he used to live in Covina or something. You know what I mean? Like, so one of these I knew, and they lived in these apartments, and I loved trading dope for shit. You know what I mean?
Too.
Like, loved it. Like, cause I couldn't.
I love trading shit for dope, but.
No, but my thing was like, I'd be like, and my connection, Brian would always be like,
oh, you were the curator. Right?
Yeah, he's
back
like,
in the day, you
fucking,
always say.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Keith, man, fucking don't only take cash from these. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this guy's going to give me $20 for this. I just got a fucking pistol.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What are you talking about? Like,
because I would have, I mean,
speed game, dude. That's so
speed
crazy.
Speed game is fucking wild.
Dude, I remember this one crazy, like, super hardcore tweaker. There was this little crew of us that, like, didn't take it so seriously, like, all the prison tough guy,
yeah.
Like, oh, you need to fucking give me a righteous deal or don't be trying to punk me. You know what I mean? And we just all knew it was just all fucking glitter anyway. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as you got it, no matter what it was. So this one dude, I remember his name was Clint Daigle, super funny motherfucker. And you'd go to, he lived in Norco. You'd pull up to his house. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. And you'd wake him up so you could come in there and use the pad to get high and start getting crazy. And he'd be just waking up. He'd go, fuck, man. Hold on a second. Let me get woken up. And he would do a backflip in the fucking living room.
No.
Totally.
He'd
go, let
way.
Me get woken up. Oh, boom. And do a backflip, right? And that would just set it off. But he came up on like a big-ass snap-on toolbox. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he took it to some old rocker wood guy that was like, not a prison guy, but like a fucking.
Heavy meddler.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the kind of guy that fucking still dressed and looked exactly like he did in high school, but he's now 41 and lives at his mom's still, but sells dope, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, man, so what do you think? And he's like looking at this toolbox and shit. He's like, I'll give you a ball for it. He's like, fuck that. I'll take a teenth. Which
what?
Is half of an eight ball.
No way.
Yeah, just to be like aggro and like for the moment, he's like, I'll give you a ball for it. He's like, no, fuck that. I'll take a teenth.
No way.
No way.
Just on the, just for the goof. You know what I mean? Yeah, totally.
Just downgrades
totally.
To the teener.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so funny. So
I'll
funny.
Take a teenth.
But so I was out there and like, it was like, I don't, it was like around the winter time or whatever. But this is a whole new world. You can imagine how exciting it was. Because in Covina, I have my rounds. I go by this house, you know, and see what they got.
Yeah.
And I constantly go in the house, you know, seeing what tools and guns and fucking.
Riding your bike in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Riding my bike in the fucking rain. Like fucking at the old bicycles. I mean, I was a sucker. But in a weird way, even though I had the bag, you know, I was kind of the sucker. People would be like, fuck, call Keith. I would come to people's pads. I've told this before. I'd be like, they'd be like, just Jones and get a high. I'd be like, where's the junk drawer? And they're like, what? And I'm like, where's the junk drawer? And they're like, over here. I'm like, all right. Because I wanted to go in there and see what
just
kind of.
Just get in there and get fucking.
You know, there's
it.
Some kind of weird.
A mag light, like
mag
a bunch
light,
of screwdrivers.
Some keychain from the 60s. I loved all that shit. Dude, weird fucking pocket knives.
Yeah.
You know, all that weird shit that you find in somebody's like dad's.
You're over there like breathing
dude, but
through
that
nose really
so...
heavy. Like just.
Yeah.
But like, think
like
about it, right?
Doing,
like
trying to get it to work again,
yeah, cleaning it.
Yeah.
But think about it, right? Like think about what you do now.
Yeah.
And think about like that's like that
they're
you've
similar,
always
yeah.
sort of had an obsession with collecting things that help tell a story, right? In
yeah.
some weird way, like
that's
so,
true. You'll
like,
talk about like a
thing,
Barracuda
like,
jacket.
Where's
like,
the junk?
Yeah. You will, like,
where's
the
junk drawer is very different from like, hey, do you have a fucking stereo? All right, I'll take your stereo, or I'll take your fucking most valuable. Whatever thing. It's like, where's the junk drawer? It's like, where can I find these little like weird things that reveal that have some little story connected to them?
Yeah, it's
that's,
true.
It's such a, every time you've told those stories to me, every time it's taken me forever because I'm fucking slow. But you know, that it's always been a bit about like exploring personal stuff.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Which is
I love that. I love vintage stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I went to your dad's house, I like you could put me in the attic and I would fucking be there for hours. I love old jackets and old keychains.
Well,
I
he'd
love...
probably get a little upset.
Yeah.
No, and you'd also have to, you'd be.
But you know what I mean? Like old Yosemite
with the other
keychains
residents.
And like
yeah,
I would find you know weird shit like, and anyway, I don't. This is gonna fucking. I mean, like, you know, I get carried away. Like, it's like Reno said too. You want to be the one to get the shit, but once you have it, you kind of don't care. Like, oh, you like it? Fuck it, you can have it. You know?
Oh, you mean this whatever it is that you're
that you trade the
like
dope
the Macintosh
for.
Stereo head whatever unit and shit.
I wish it was that, but fucking
Marantz speakers. I remember those were like a big thing. Like all those old woods, I used to want Marantz speakers.
But there was a fucking thing, and these dudes lived in these apartments in Ontario, and I was fucking all of them are just coming. Hey, what do you give me for this? All this shit. And one of them had, you're not going to believe this, a fucking baby blue Santa costume. So baby blue, you know, like where it would be red, it was blue.
Yeah.
But you're on speed. That's fucking, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know what I was like? Is that a fucking blue Santa? And they're like, they were blown away. I can remember the dude's face right this minute. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, what do you want for that? You know, because I wanted to be the dude, you know, to go back and show my buddies like Reno and shit, like, yo, look what I got. And people are like, what the fuck are you going to do with that, right? I got it or whatever. And I don't know what the fuck happened.
It velvet?
It was what? No, it,
or
you know,
was it
felt.
Flannel?
It was flannel. Yeah, flannel.
They make a flannel one now, a light one. I've done a little research trying to get a light Santa suit.
It wasn't like a velvet one. It was a lower end one, like flannel. But anyway, so I had that. I must have left it somewhere or whatever. I mean, like me and my one buddy were talking about it for days. Like, what the fuck? You know, like what a weird, you know, a fucking light. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Anyway, so. Cut to, we're at this fucking, I don't know, maybe it's a few weeks, a month later, I don't know, but it's Christmas Eve and we go to this house in Corona, right? And we're cooking dope, my friend's cooking dope out there, I'm not, but I'm helping her or whatever. She leaves and I'm waiting for, like when you're cooking dope in a house, like look, she's done
it's
cooking.
It's serious.
It's serious, but the whole lab is in
fucking
this
serious.
House, you know what I mean? The lab's there, I'm there. And there's some girl there, and we're waiting for some dude supposed to come pick us up, right? Dude, it's in Corona, right? Like I said, and it's daytime. It's not like night. It wouldn't matter. It's all fucking hot.
Yeah.
And dude, here comes this fucking, the dude is coming to pick us up. I like glance out the window because I see lights, you know, like, or not lights. It was daytime. But anyway, I looked at the window. I was like, what the fuck? And he's in a Fiero, you know, this little, so number one, there's two of us to pick up, plus a lab, and he's in a Fiero, but dude, it's smashed.
Oh my
God. Like he's rolled the Fiero.
Incredible.
So the whole top is smashed.
Oh dude.
So his head's sticking out of this weird hole like this with that blue fucking Santa hat and ski goggles.
No
And
way.
I'm like, dude, you know what I mean? I'm like, fuck, you can imagine. I was just like,
that was the only person you guys had that was going to come pick you up.
Yeah, because she, you know, this is before the cell phone shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but like, I don't, you know, the dude's obviously supposed to come in, like, you know, some kind of vehicle you could put, you know, you could put the
Jesus
lab in the trunk of
Christ.
A car. He's in a fucking Fiero, a fucking two-seater, which I don't think has a trunk at all.
It does have a trunk, but not enough to fit a briefcase.
Yeah, no. And dude, he fucking pulled up in that thing, and I just fucking came unhit. And that dude is standing there, hey, you got any shit?
Oh, my God.
I go, dude, get that fucking Santa hat off. His head is not... It's through the, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
The thing is smashed, so...
He's like, you guys got any shit?
Yeah, you know where the windshield... The windshield's completely gone because it smashed, I guess. But it's gone. You know, he's pulled the rest of it out.
Oh, my God,
so it's smashed down, and his head is out the hole. So the fucking... There's a blue fucking Santa hat, a red Fiero. At least if it was a red fucking Santa hat, maybe it'd be camouflaged.
Yeah.
But a blue Santa hat and ski goggles.
Jesus Christ.
Driving
dude.
That to a fucking house we're cooking dope at.
Jesus Christ.
And there's no great moral to that story. But I'm like, dude.
Other than the fact that that dude was trying to be a cop collector.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, dude, like straight hey,
up,
over here.
That's yeah. another thing I was going to say about that I loved what about being dickhead. Up here when I got here was like, you really could jump in the whip and take off anytime, day or night. In Covina, Corona, literally if you're on the road after any certain time, you're fucking a bust. You're getting pulled over. But up here, it's not like that. Like, there's so many different people going different directions. You can really fucking just
I would say if you're on the road after 10,
yeah,
don't you think? 10 or 11, like, and if it's like fucking 1 or 2, You're done.
But there's a lot of like nice houses out there.
Those people all work in Orange County or LA.
Okay.
They leave at fucking 6 a.m. They get home at 7 p.m. They maybe go to Chili's or Applebee's or Claim Jumper or go to get groceries and shit. But they're back at those houses chilling. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anybody else that's out fucking around later on at night is a fucking idiot.
Also, dude, and it's so much work because, I mean, Reno, because, you know, if you're going from Covina to fucking Corona or Pomona or vice versa, dude, it's like, because you're trying to figure out a way, like, okay.
Do I go down fucking whatever? Do I take Milliken all the way down or whatever, 71?
Dude, it's like.
But you get on the 71, it's a two-lane road, and if this guy's not going fast enough, and
the
it's
71
crazy.
Is a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
It goes through Chino, and it basically turns into like a two-lane highway. But you know how like there's not really any escape.
Yeah,
it's true. So you feel like you're on a street, but there's nowhere you could turn if you did start.
Yeah, so if you're like high and you're on your way, especially on a long haul from like Corona to Ontario or Covina to fucking wherever, if you're going down the 71, there's literally like, if you get a little freaked out, you could be like, I'm gonna get off at this exit. I don't know who that is behind me. I just want to let those people pass, whatever. But if you're on the 71, you got to commit and get on and go 70 or 75. And if you're really high and you're holding, that's really fucking fast.
I've been out there with you and are there bars in the Covina area?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
people and do locals go to those bars and just like, but they're off the streets by 10 kind of, huh?
Well, no, the locals, you know, they're drinking and doing their thing, but like also every bar has a tweaker element in it.
Yeah.
For the most part. Not everyone. Yeah, sure. But most of them, you know, like, well, the bars like Reno's mom was a bartender.
Yeah.
Those kind of bars where it's like a traditional bar. Do you know what I mean? Like, cause the fancier people can be at like McMurphy's or those fucking weird sports bars.
My mom worked at her whole career at this like place in Riverside called The Sire, which if you ever drove down Magnolia Avenue, it had a big horseshoe on the sign. It was right downtown. Like, those people are all like, you know, locals, and they're, you know, maybe they drive home after they have a couple martinis and shit like that. But the bars where shit's going on, there might be like a biker element there or some speedy shit or something.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, it's fucking dark. On a side note, I can't remember why this triggered it, but one of you was saying something a minute ago. I was going to say, I hope I haven't told this before. This friend of ours, Tom Barry, he's tall. He's probably Reno's height. He's real thin. He has like thick eyebrows. He kind of looks like Beaker from the Muppets. And he's fucking funnier than shit, right? But he always rides bicycles everywhere and shit, and we were tweaking and shit. And he had this thing where he's like, he would do a trick for a kicker, you know, like
ride a long wheelie or something.
Yeah, for a bowl of speed, he'd do a trick. And my buddies were with him. I wasn't there, but I'm fucking retelling this story. But Tom's like, hey, can I do a trick for a line to my friend Jimmy? And he's like, go ahead, Tom. And Tom fucking, there's a pool table in this backyard, and Tom pulls his 10 speed up into a wheelie with an avocado in his mouth. And he's riding the wheelie by the pool table and leans over and slam dunks the avocado in the side pocket. And everybody's like, yeah! And he comes out of it like he's on a Wheaties thing throwing his arm up. And he got rewarded with a bowl of
amphetamine. That's so funny.
Oh, man.
That's common.
You know they were. Really that cool. Hey, listen, so we sent our biggest dude, our biggest family member out to tell you. So, I mean, they at least were nice. It seemed like they were like, sorry, no offense, but like, this is not.
No offense, but you got to go.
You got to go. Like, we're taking her to.
You don't got to go home, but rehab, you got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I never got an intervention. I'm still like a little bitter about that. Yeah.
No, it's weird. I've often felt like I've never had one, you know, and I.
Well, we brought you here tonight.
Yeah. So we crafted this entire radio show around this podcast around the notion of listen to me, radio show.
Radio,
I'm fucking over. Oh God. Thankfully, I think it's just honestly my just sheer laziness and inability to commit and just overall ADD OCD that's kept me safe, because I'm just basically like, yeah, this seems to be getting pretty dark. Oh, look at that shiny thing over there. Whatever. And it's just like, oh, that's a job. I'll do that too. Right. Like, you know, I don't know. Whatever. But anyway. Well,
who wants to kick it off?
I think you should go, Danny, because
should we rock, paper, scissors for it, or should I just go first?
I think you should go. I want, because I want to hear it.
All right. I got two stories, and I'm still going back and forth about which one. One's a quick one and one's a little long. Look, you know what? Let's go. Let's do the little longer one.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So this was my last Christmas getting loaded. I like vividly remember, because, and I this is a guy I know that always talks about, where he was like, yeah, he's like, I was living in Hollywood, and I remember like walking out to go like to cop, and you see that fucking Christmas tree come up on Capitol Records, you know? Mm-hmm. And he would just think, he's like, yeah, and I would think to myself, fuck, it's going up again. It's the holidays. I really got to get sober, you know? He's like, and then I would blink my eyes, and the tree would be coming down, you know? And he's like, and then I'd be like, oh, I really got to get sober. He's like, and then next thing you know, I'd be coming out and I'd see that fucking tree coming up again, you know? And I'd be like, oh, I really got to get sober. So, and I relate to that because I lived in Hollywood and that's where I did like a lot of my running around. And I clearly remember that, like, just, you know, taking that. Like, I hated the holidays when I was getting loaded because everything's closed. The fucking connects, like the dealers, they have families. They got like stuff to do, you know? And they don't want to fucking like, and that's the worst, you know. I don't have, not only do I not have anywhere to go, like I don't even, there's no like public restrooms for me to get high in because everything is closed. But like now the one guy that I need more than anything in the world is like, oh, I'm with my family. Call me tomorrow. I'm like, no, wait, no, you have a family, first off. Second off, no. Like, where are you? Where is your family? I will get there. I will, I'll steal a fucking car and I'll get to you, you know? And 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, okay, meet me in Pomona. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yes, we're going to Pomona. But I have this friend. Man, I hope he's all right. I haven't seen him in a while. You know, he's still like, he was doing okay for a while. I have a video of him that maybe we could put on here where he was like, when he was locked up this last time, because he did like a little stretch, you know?
Mm.
And he's like a musician that was like pretty successful and then just got strung out and started doing meth and like is just, you know, like fucking shat it all away. And he was in a band in county jail called Contraband. And there's these videos of them just like, there were like
beautiful
like,
work.
Yeah, where they're
that
like,
is beautiful work. Yeah, they're like,
we're gonna name this Contraband.
Yes.
And there's a video of them like on the Los Angeles Department of Corrections website. You know, it might even be really? Like a Happy Holidays fucking video. Oh, you know, man. I'll find it. You know, I'm sure I can track it down.
That's incredible. Yeah.
But he was like, you know, you have like these lower companions that. For me, there was always dudes I would just keep around that like I couldn't stand, but they were always doing just a little worse than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could feel a little better about myself, or I'd be like, well, fuck, at least I'm not as bad as that dude, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a few of them, but this was like lowest mm-hmm. of the low companion. And he calls me one night, and I had some friends where I was staying in Hollywood, but
the low companion.
Yeah, the lowest companion, you know. Man. And he calls me, and I was staying in a room at the JW Marriott, which had just opened in downtown. And I had some friends that were doing some stuff, and basically they were staying in this room. The room was not under their name. The room, but we had access to this room. It was a suite. I had a room key, you know.
That's
we
how
could
it
get,
starts.
That's how
we
it starts.
Had
we had access to the room, you know, and and I'm staying down there for, I don't know, we were there for like a month, which is kind of insane, you know. And it was like room service, whatever we wanted, like you were just, oh yeah, up to whatever, you know, whatever the room number was. And this guy, my lower whatever, his name's Sean, I'll fucking put him out there, you mm-hmm. know, fucking, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say his last name, but Sean calls me and he goes, dude, where you at? I got these two really hot chicks that I met. Like, I want to bring them over and hang, you know, like, they want to hang out. They want to get loaded, you know? And I was like, all right, cool. Sure, I'm at the fucking JW Marriott room, mm-hmm. room, whatever the fuck it was, you know? And he calls me, and we were, like, on the floor where you can't just go up there. You got to, like, have a room key to get to this floor. Like, it was a really, really, really nice room.
Yeah.
And he comes down there and I meet up with him and he has these two girls that are like, you know, I don't know. I was 29 at the time. And the girls are like 21, like, you know, 2021, smoking hot, really sweet. And they just like, they've just been smoking meth with him for like the last 2 hours. So right away, like something's a little off with him, you know, and he's just a fucking nut. Like that photo that I sent you guys of me wearing the fucking purple yoga pants, you know, and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's him. Like if you were to tone it down a notch, yeah, that would be him, you know.
Oh,
like
wow.
He was just out of like just
tone it down a notch.
Tone it down a
yeah,
notch.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
copy that.
So
all
he
right.
shows up and he's like, hey, what's this?
Yeah,
you know, bouncing
but all
off
the time.
The walls. All the time.
Right.
All the
that
time.
Meth
I mean
look.
Insane. Yeah. The meth look, exactly. And he has these two girls and I'm like, hey, what's up? What's your story? And they're like, oh, we're here from Arizona and we're visiting LA and we just want to party and, you know, like do some meth and whatever. And I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. You've come to the right place. So they want to just, you know, they just want to party. They want to come and yeah. And we have this fucking beautiful suite at the JW Marriott. I'm not going to keep saying the name of the fucking place because now it just sounds like I'm trying to plug it, you know.
I which, love that JW. Which, yeah. No, but there's something like, there's something. Listen, to anybody who fucking knows, you say the word JW Marriott and it sets a very clear
yeah.
scene. Like,
oh, it's not the Snooty Fox or the fucking
no.
Trilon or the.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, I got a room at the Motel 6. What
no,
up? You know,
the,
no.
The Trilon, you mean it's not fucking just like just downtown Ghana? Like, yeah. Yeah, no, shit. No, it's not Guinea-Bissau. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, yeah. Or the no. Favelas. Like, fucking the Trilon's next level dementia. But yeah. Anyway, all right, I'm shutting up.
All right.
People said that.
So we go, you know, so they show up there and you know, we start talking and whatever, we're smoking meth. And I'm like, what are you girls doing? And, you know, they're like, oh, we're just going back to, it was like a few days right before Christmas. And like, oh, we're just here for a few days. We just got out of rehab. And I was like, what? You know, and I'm like, what do you mean you just got, they're like, yeah, we were in rehab for 3 months in LA. And we got a flight to catch on Christmas morning to get back to our families. But we just wanted to get a little high before we went back home, you know? And I was like, fuck. I mean, you're already a little high, you know? And like, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're fucking partying at this point, you know? Like, we got there. You're already here.
It's too late.
This is already
yeah.
happening. It's too late, you
the
know?
The rehab is...
What's crazy is I always had that, like, weird thing where, like, I, you know, like, I know a lot of people that would, like, use drugs to, like, sexually advance themselves and to do all this, you know? Like, to get stuff with them. I was never that kind of guy. I even have a friend that, like... That's, you know, she's sober a little longer than I do. And like whenever she like celebrates an anniversary, I give her a cake and she's like, this is my ethical drug dealer, Russian Danny. You know, he was the only heroin dealer I knew that didn't like try to make moves on me, you know.
Oh, Which, right.
And
right.
But I still felt really bad about, you know, I was like, fuck, these girls just got, I'd never been to rehab at this point, but I was like, fuck, these girls just got out of rehab and then fucking Sean, you know, but whatever, you know, but we're there, we're fucking hanging out, we're having a good time. And there was this kid fucking solo that was just a little fucking dirtbag, red hair, all these like really shitty fucking tweaker tattoos, you know,
yeah.
Like shit you would see on like. Shit you would see on Snake Pit or like sucky tattoos or something. You're just like
the worst of the worst,
you know, neck tat and whatever.
Oh.
And somehow he shows up there and then he meets these girls and he's like, oh yeah, what's up girls? Like, you know, and all of a sudden he turns from like this weirdo little white kid, you know, and to like this little hood gangster. And he was like, man, what y'all want from room service? What? Oh, let's get a bottle of champagne. Let's get, you know. What? And they're like, we've been sober for 3 months and we just started smoking meth. Like the last thing we want to do is fucking eat sushi or, you know, whatever weird shit. But he keeps ordering and ordering and ordering stuff to this fucking room. And
Oh God.
And I was like, this is not going to end well. You know, like this is not going to end.
Nope.
And then at some point we go downstairs to like.
And what is this? Is this Christmas Eve?
It's like Christmas. Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. Oh, it is definitely. Yeah, it was Christmas Eve. So
Seven
we go,
Fishes. Geez. He's ordering sushi. Up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God, man, that's so dumb. Okay.
So yep. We go downstairs to meet. We had somebody coming to like bring us some, you know. Well, some party favors, as one might call them, although there was absolutely no party going on there.
And they weren't doing you a favor.
Were, yeah, there was no favor whatsoever. And the guy whose room it was, like, he would just take off for like 3-4 days at a time, you know? So he got the room. It's in his name, you know, it's a whole thing. And we go downstairs and the girls come down with us or whatever. And Solo's like, hey y'all, and they have all these little stores in the lobby. You know, there's like a Toomey store where they have like Toomey bags and wallets and whatever.
Oh no!
And he just starts buying all this shit, just trying to impress these girls. You know, he's like, yeah, charge that shit to room 602. You know, like whatever. And he's like, what y'all girls want? Oh, you want a Toomey Bluetooth speaker? Oh, it's only $300. Charge it to the room. You know, and I was like, dude, you have to chill. Like this is not like this is bad. And he goes to check out at one of the places, you know, and they go, what, sir, what room are you in? He goes, room 602 or whatever. And they go, well, what's your relationship to Mr. Han? You know, because like the dude who's the room was rented to is like a Japanese fucking businessman, you know? And now there's this fucking little redheaded, sketchy, fucking sucked up tweaker kid that's buying all this stuff to this room. And they go, what's your relationship to Mr. Han or whatever the name was? And he goes,
Oh man,
that's a business associate of mine. And I was like, oh fuck, this is bad. This just went from bad to worse.
This is like, I'm going to get arrested.
Yeah. You could have been like,
just because I'm here.
Yeah. You could have been like, oh, sorry, wrong room. Sorry. We could have done, you know? Yeah. So it goes from like bad to worse, you know, just immediately.
Oh.
And just, I remember the look of the person.
So brilliant.
I remember the look of the person working there. Yeah. And then they call in like the, I don't know if it was like the GM or the manager, somebody, you know, like somebody that was wearing a suit and they looked like, you know. And they go, so what's going on? You know, what's going on here? And I'm like, oh, whatever, you know. Oh, my. And like, how do you cover for that? There's no getting out of it, you know?
Right.
There's no, like, we're fucked. And and we go up to the room. And I remember walking in. Oh,
and what does he say? Like, he's just like.
He's just an idiot. It doesn't matter to him. You know? And I was like, dude, you fucked. Like, as we're going up, I'm like, dude, you fucked up. Yeah, I'm like, you really fucked up. And one of the girls was in the room and the other girl was with us. You know, and we're going up and I was like, dude, you really fucked up. Like,
we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. He goes, no, we can't, whatever, blah, 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 we can't do that. And we go up in the room. This should have been the first red flag, you know, but I'm so high, it doesn't matter. The room key is no longer working for the room. And I'm like, ooh. Mm. So we knock, and the other girl that's sleeping comes and gets the door and lets us into the room, you know, and we're like trying to figure out what to do. We're trying to call the guy who's actually renting the room, you know, and who's not Mr. Han, just to get straight,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
But he could pull off of Mr. Han a lot better than me or the other dude.
Right.
And he's not answering, you know? So we're like, fuck. And like, at this point, we're like, we can't leave. We just can't leave, you know? Because if we try to dip out of there, it's really all bad, you know?
Yeah.
So the JW Marriott is attached to a Ritz-Carlton. You know, they're like side to side. And the Ritz-Carlton had a Wolfgang Puck restaurant bar on the roof. So I look at everyone. I'm like, hey, I got a little cash. Let's go have some drinks because this is what we need right now to like calm down and regroup, you know, and try to figure this out. Let's at least get out of this room, you know?
Yeah.
And we go up there. We get
and
to
is
the
your stuff in the room? And
all
stuff?
Everything. Everything I own is in the room. Everything that, you know, all my drugs, everything is there.
Yeah.
All the girls, whatever stuff they have from their fucking rehab, you know, just, you know, like I was been living there for at least 3 weeks at this point, maybe a month. And so we go to the roof and we sit down and I had like enough cash to like get us a round of drinks, you know, and we're sitting there and we're drinking. And I remember like walking up to the roof and looking over and just seeing a few black and whites pull up. And I look down and I know why they're there, you know?
Of course you do.
And I look over my shoulder and there's like.
Fuck.
Six or seven security guards just standing there by our table, you know? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, this is it. This is it. This is finally where they fucking get me, you know? It's been a nice, fun run for however many years, but we're fucked. And I remember looking at the poor girls and I'm like, fuck, all they wanted to do was fucking, you know? Like, they just wanted to get a little high before they made it home for Christmas with their fucking families, you know? And I just felt so bad and I went back. I sat back down at the table, and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna have to have you guys stay up here until Mr. Han or whatever, you know, Mr. Han shows up to say that it was okay for you guys to be in the room and be purchasing this stuff, you know." I'm like, "Ah, fuck. Well, at least I got this drink, you know." But immediately, my mind goes to like, "How the fuck am I gonna get out of here? Like, I can't, you know." For me, the holidays in jail is the worst because I've spent
for the world.
Know, for yeah, because you Come get on. There like yeah, yeah. You get there on a Thursday and then the fucking court's closed until like Tuesday. And then there's so many people that get busted that weekend. You're probably not going to see the judge until a fucking Thursday at best, you know? So I'm like, fuck, I can't do this, you know? And it's the three of us, or it's the two girls, Solo and myself. I don't know what happened to fucking the stupid Sean. He probably ran off somewhere. He had like the dumbest luck ever, you know? And I remember looking at the security guards and being like, hey, I really got to use the bathroom, you know? And they go, well, there's a planter right there. Like, we can't let you leave our site. Like, you can piss in the planter. I'm like, what? Like, this is the fucking Ritz-Carlton. Like, what are you guys talking about pissing the planter, you know? And I was like, hey, well, in that case, like, you guys want to bring a bowl over here? Because I really got to take a shit, you know? And they kind of look at me and they're kind of like, you know, they're kind of puzzled. And they go, man, come on. Bathroom's over here. And they walk me to this hallway where there's a bathroom. And I go in there and I'm just like, fuck, you know, I think I had like some foil with a little bit of heroin left on it. And I'm smoking it, like, just, you know, I'm doing that fucking foxhole prayer. Like, God, if you get me out of this one,
yeah,
I'll never do this again.
I'll never do drugs.
I will never wrong anyone. I will become, fuck, I'll be a born again Christian, you know, whatever, Scientology, God, whatever you need me to do. Fuck, let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
And I come out of the bathroom and I look and there's a security guard that's standing, like, making sure that I can't, like, bolt for the elevator. Has his back to me, though. And I look over and, like, the Ritz-Carlton's really, you know, the JW Marriott's maybe like 16 floors, but the Ritz-Carlton's that big ass fucking building with the little stripe on it, you know, in downtown. And so we're, I don't know how, 30 some odd floors up, you know, and there's a fucking sign that says emergency exit stairs. Mm. And I have that moment where I'm like, well, fuck. I mean, worst thing that could happen is I'm still going to get busted. But hey, I got to give this a fucking shot, you know? And I don't have any more money on me. I don't have any more drugs. I don't have anything. But I'm like, I just got to get the fuck up out of here. And I bolt. I hit the fucking emergency exit. Once again, praying that no alarms go off. No alarms did go off. I run down the 32 fucking flights of stairs.
And did he see you?
No.
No.
No. Which I don't know how, you know?
Wow.
And I get down the stairs and I get out there and the cops are walking in, like, as I'm coming out, you know, and I'm like, fuck, I need to get away from here. Cause like at this point, we've been staying there long enough. Everybody knows us there. You know, I got to get out of here, out of this vicinity. And right across the street, there was a row of taxis, you know, and I run up to one of the taxis and I go, dude, I need you to get me out of here. He goes, where are you going? And I was like, out of here. He goes, where are you going? I was like, anywhere but here. He goes, where are you going? I need to take you somewhere, you know? And I'm like, fuck it, the Ace Hotel, which I think also just opened around that time. And,
oh, wow.
But I had a friend that was staying there. And I was like, if I can make it to the Ace, then he'll give me enough money to pay for the cab. And he'll, you know, he'll understand the struggle that I'm going through, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's Christmas Eve. I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah,
right.
So I hop in the cab. I get in. He drives me to the Ace. I'm like, hey, I just got to run upstairs and get some money from a friend. He goes, yeah, I've heard this one before. You know? And I was like, no, no. And I had like a gold Nixon watch that I just stole the day before. So I was like, here, hold my fucking stupid Nixon watch, you know? And I'm going to run up there. I'll get the money and I'll pay you right when I come down. And I go up. I knock on my friend's door, you know? He comes to the door. He goes, dude, what are you doing here? Like, why? You know, it's Christmas Eve. He's trying to, like, whatever. You know, he's got a girl over or something. And I'm like, dude, this is what happened. I need like $12 for this fucking cab ride. And he looks at me and he goes, are you a fucking idiot? I'm like, what? Why? You know, he goes, so you're telling me that you literally just had the cops show up for you for some dumb shit that you're doing at a hotel right down the street. And you escaped said hotel and came to the hotel that I'm doing the same exact illegal thing you're fucking doing right down the street and just fucking show up here. And you want me to just give you money and drugs? And like, he's like, get the fuck out of here. What is wrong with you? You know?
Yeah. Oh, like, man.
Fuck. This just got worse. You know, this just,
yeah, yeah, like, yeah, it's this just going got worse.
More and more and more downhill, you know?
And that's what he was doing. He was doing the same
exact
kind of scam.
Same exact. Because that's kind of like, when you start running with certain people, they're all doing that same thing, you know, where it's like you can get all this stuff, but it's really hard to get money, which is weird because you can get stuff. But like, I've always felt like there was like a weird like curse that comes with like getting all, you know, because all these dudes would have like hundreds of pairs of shoes and they would literally have like the little mail carts like the mailman pushes mail in to wheel in their fucking shoes into these rooms. But they never had any money for drugs. They never had any cash whatsoever. They could never like get rid of that stuff. You know, there was like a weird juju to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's weird.
So I go outside and the fucking cab driver's still there. And I'm like, fuck, I was hoping he'd take off. And I was like, hey, I was like, hey, buddy, it's Christmas Eve. I don't know what I got to do, you know, but hey, I don't have any money for you. I'm like, you see that fucking gold Nixon watch? You know, it's yours if you, you know. He goes, oh, you fucking asshole. You know, I kept the meter running and whatever. You know, what's he going to say? So he fucking takes off.
Yeah.
But I was free. I lost everything I had.
Everything.
Everything I had. I mean, all the clothes I had, all the drugs, everything, every single, the computer I had at the time, every single material possession I had had with me up until that point, everything gone. But I didn't lose my freedom. Then here's the happy end. So then everybody else gets busted. You know, the two girls.
Oh, really?
They fucking all went to jail, you know, for whatever fraud and whatever else, you know, which is like a federal offense. You know, that's not the happy end to the story.
It's not.
Yeah.
But then they call this guy that was known as Mr. Han, and from jail, or somebody called him and let him know what was happening. And he goes, oh, sure, I'll show up and I'll let him know that it was my room. So this dude, so this is the crate, like the insanity
who
behind all that.
Who is that?
And so, why?
So this dude just went and had an ID made with the name of who the room was in. He showed up and said, hey, these are my friends. I let them be in the room. They were all let out 2 days later. No charges filed.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, the fucking girl, the poor girls missed fucking Christmas with their family, but whatever. You know, they're not fucking sitting in a federal jail for the rest of their life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this Mr. Han, was he a friend of yours?
We don't, I have no clue who Mr. Han is. It was somebody that they went, their whole thing was they would get like stuff off the dark web. They would like buy people's identities basically and then do all this crazy stuff.
Wait,
I never figured out how just how it was all done.
Okay, so this is like that's what's fucking crazy. So in other words, they were buying people's. I was like, I don't know who this motherfucker is, but you. When someone says him. You've been staying at a hotel for 3 weeks, that means someone's card is clearing.
Oh yeah,
someone's social cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Or maybe, I mean, they probably may not necessarily, I don't know how that works, or whether they get your social through a fucking Amex or whatever. But that's...
They at least have money.
They have money, and money is flowing. Lots of money.
And they're cool.
And they're also wealthy. Well, they're wealthy enough. Whoever's on the fucking receiving end of that scam is wealthy enough not to notice.
Yeah.
They have to.
To them, it's
right?
Like,
if that was you and you were like...
Fuck, if that was me...
There's a $400 fucking iPod being bought at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Like, you know...
Dude, if it was me, if it was...
A gift stop shop, I'd be at the Beverly Hills gift shop tonight.
If I got a warning that fucking somebody tried to buy a 25-cent fucking stick of Juicy Fruit gum fucking across town. Stop
happen?
My account!
So then you gotta know...
Cancel my cards!
So then you gotta know that... So then you walk it back, and then it's like, oh, no. The person who's spending that money doesn't care that this is happening. And why is that? Why do they need to have a hotel room that they can go to at any moment, and but yet they care so little about that they'll let other fucking drug addicts come in and use and party in? What's that arrangement? Like,
and he's willing to vouch for those people.
There's something good. Yeah. There's something good down that tunnel, or something real bad. Something real bad. That is all fucking bad.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it? It's all bad. Yeah. That's bad. And it's so good that you got out of there, brother.
Yeah.
Right. That could have gone a lot.
Yeah. Oh, my
Merry,
God.
Mr. Han could have been a little bit different.
Oh, man. Mr. Han could have showed up and been like, Danny.
Yeah.
And you'd be like,
do not fuck with me,
Mr.
Danny.
Han.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I just remember, like, it was everything that I had owned, you know, every single material. Like, it was like all I had was the clothes on my back, you know? Probably like a fedora and like some shitty fucking blazer, you know?
A fedora. Probably a fedora.
I definitely had a fedora on.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It was a heady time.
Yeah. Do you remember how you spent Christmas the next day?
I do, because I went to my mom's house. Well, first I went, they had like a food drive in Hollywood, you know, and I like was getting some dope with some guy, and he's like, hey, if you go here, you get some free food. And and they give a $10 gift card, you know? And I was like, what? To where? He goes, it's a cash gift card, you know? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. That sounds so cool, you know? So I went and I stood in like an hour-long line to get this fucking whatever. It was like just one of those like little food drives they have, you know? And yeah, I got that because I've not just technically, I was homeless at this time. You know,
right,
I wasn't
right.
getting over on anyone except for my fucking self, you know? And and I got that and I went and I remember I got some dope and I was like, ah, it's Christmas Day. My mom, you know, the family's going to be there. I could at least show up. I'll get a plate of food. I got a little change of clothes. I'll take a shower, you know, regroup. I was up that whole time, you know, because I'm freaking out. I'm like, they're after me. They're going to find me. One of them is going to snitch and tell them my name. And this is, you know. And I get to my mom's house and I remember knocking on the door and she didn't open the door. She opened the peephole and she looked and then she said, hold on a sec. And she came around from the back and she said, hey, if you're hungry, I got a plate of food for you. And I was like, what? Like, wait, no, like, what do you mean? Yes, I know you have a fucking plate of food for me. Yes, it's a fucking holiday, you know? Like, she goes, I have some food for you. And when you get sober, you're welcome back in this household. And I think it was like maybe the first time, you know, like where my mom just fucking held that line. And thank God she did, you know, because if she didn't, I don't think I'd be here today. Because I was just so used to like getting, you know, I was like, oh, I could get over it. Maybe get a little $20 out of mom, you know.
Yeah.
Eat a little food, pass out on the couch and then keep it going. Keep the party going.
Yeah.
And I just remember leaving there just being so fucking bummed. And it was like I had nothing, you know, like I'm taking public transportation on Christmas Day, which is the worst, you know, like buses come once every 4 hours and I'm trying to get back to fucking Hollywood from my mom's house and, you know, in Beverly Hills. Like it was just a fucking nightmare. And it was raining too. It just started raining out of nowhere. I was like, oh, this is fucked. You know?
Yeah.
This is so fucked. But I'm, you know what? I'm so grateful that my mom for that first time held that line. You know? Cause I honestly, I wouldn't be fucking sitting here today. I'd be like, man, I'll come on your podcast like and try to steal a microphone or something on my way out. I get $20 for that at the pound shop.
God damn. Yeah,
because it sounds like you just always kept getting away with stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's what
even
it was.
The story
that's
you
the
just told. Like, God damn it!
I know. Like,
you can't get busted.
That was the thing. Like, there's just not a chance in hell I'd get away with half of that.
I knew
they'd
halfway
be like, you,
through
out immediately. They would just have me down.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what, you know. Like, I don't call it. You know, like, I don't know. Call it fucking. Call it God or whatever. Something was looking out for me. You know, something was fucking looking out for me because I've had so many of those close calls. Just so many, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the list goes on and on. I mean, I've told a few of the story. Fuck Van Damme, you know, like, fuck, you know, like what?
Sure.
Yeah.
Know?
God damn.
Like, it just it just doesn't end. You know, it was like these stories just there was something looking out for me, you know, because I shouldn't be fucking I should be in jail or I should be dead. You know, I should not be sitting here today. Especially not fucking clean and sober, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird because it's like such the, like you hear people say that, but like, you know, now that I know so much more about all the different adventures you've had and have gotten to know those over the course of the last couple of years, like it really is true, right? So many times, but yeah, there's how do you
No, yeah, you need to get caught.
Yeah, you know? You need to get caught. It needs to happen.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm
no,
glad.
I
yeah,
guess
I'm,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying, yeah.
And I'm glad.
That trips me out, you know? It just does. Like, it's just one wrong fucking move. Like, one slip down. Like, even when you were saying I was going down 32 flights of stairs, like, just like, boop. And you get popped when you walk out or you fall or one of those bouncers comes fucking barreling after you and shoves you down those stairs. And the next thing you know, lights out. Yeah. It's over. It's like, no, that's the scariest thing about it. And that's probably what, you know, not that you want to ever live your life afraid, but like, because it's not a way to live. But it is maybe good to be a little more cautious than we were.
Yeah.
I've never been that lucky.
So you got a story for us, Mike?
I do, sir. Yeah. I need an espresso.
All right.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
Just grab a coffee.
I'm going to try not to be eating too loud, and I'm all...
Hey, don't get smacking now.
And Danny just helped himself to a meal.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Christmas special. I mean, eat up.
Yeah, got it.
You know what? God damn, that's... Oh, God, stop swearing for the Christmas special. God damn, it's Christmas. I'm such a monster sometimes when I do that in that way. I hate that about myself. The, yeah, anyway. I need an espresso. It was... Warm me up. I just wore a shirt tonight, and we're outside. We like to do this outside, as you've probably heard from the summertime crickets and the occasional overhead aircraft. But I think it's good for the show. It's Christmas 94, and yeah, December 94, and I'm living at a place called The Compound, which was a bunch of friends of mine, not necessarily friends, a couple friends of mine and people else that I met through them, and it was a big sprawling kind of collection of three different houses on Hyperion, which is, you know, right in the center of Silver Lake there. And it was when Silver Lake was not, you know, obviously what it is now. Yeah. Like, it was gnarly. but the houses, I mean the houses were gnarly too, but
the compound
humans could have made nice houses out of them, but we made kind of like animal dwellings out of them. But a lot of fun had and all that. And at one point, like, so I'd been on a tear. And I think I had a good 48 hours under my belt, and I was like, I got to get on these Christmas presents, you know, because it just kind of all hit me at once. And I was like, going to be traveling and going to be heading back home. And, you know, when the last time my folks had seen me, I was in a very different place. I was like, gotta make these presents count. You know, there really wasn't much going on. Yeah. I didn't have any money. I was broke. And at that point there was no work, blah, blah, blah. I was doing some swing gang stuff. So I'm like, I gotta make this shit. And you get some ideas in your head, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Start getting crafty. The early stages of the Silver Lake craft movement happened at 863 Hyperion downstairs. So I lived with all these dudes who were like in the art department, right? Because you know what else gets attracted to things like crystal meth or art departments.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And oh, gear. Yeah. So there was a whole downstairs workshop, and you know, I got myself in there and started just working my way through some objects, and came up with a set of some of the most horrific. And friends of mine still to this day, like my friend David Wolt, still bring this up and be like, do you have that? I'd be like, no, I don't have that piece. But just like, did your parents put that up on their wall? Like, no, they didn't put it up on their wall. They wondered whether they should probably call someone to come take care of this problem that was clearly happening to their son. But there was one I made that was, I think, called Mother Umbilicus. And it was literally a jet black. Like, I just took all the shit that was left there in the shop and used some of the tools there to make four or five Christmas gifts. And one was a massive painting on a board that I was like, in the end, I was like, I have no idea how I would ever transport this at home. What the fuck am I doing? Even I looked at it at the end of like after a couple of days and you know, the haze had worn off. I was like, what are you fucking thinking? Like, this is madness. And it was just like some glue tubing I'd found and stuff. And it was just a hideous wreck of blood spatter and matte black paint and just some horrible fucking goth turd. And I was like, oh yeah. And but in that moment, that night, I was like, oh, Michael, you are onto something. And then I made what else did I do? I made a couple other things. I I think I framed a couple of things that were like somewhat okay, and maybe made it home, and occasionally over the course of 24 hours of this Santa's workshop that I had going, it's just like such a 90s time capsule. It's just like the Weezer playing, you know, and then the fucking soul coughing, you know, reluctantly parked at the starting or whatever.
That's cake. That's cake.
Whatever. It's all the same shit.
It's all
right?
the same. Yeah.
There's that
no,
one.
Sir, like, that's cake.
Yes, no, but right, isn't it? It is. It totally is. I'm sorry. That's cake. and just, it was Grimsville. And so at one point I was like, well, I've made all the gifts I needed to make, and I feel like I'm a little bit ahead of the curve. Got some more time before sun comes up. I'm going to make a little something for myself. And I just, I took a file of facts that I'd had, and that tells you kind of what period of the world this was in, right? This file of facts for people who don't know, and why would you know, unless you're from that time, it was like a schedule, a scheduling notebook, you know. It was like they had file of facts, they had other ones, and
so
it
it's kind
of
like a Moleskine basically,
but yeah, like, it was kind of like a but it was like these things, they were like little binders, and you'd buy them, and you'd buy like nice ones, like go get a Gucci file of facts or something, you know. And it was like a daily minder. It was a day planner.
Day planner.
Remember that shit? Yeah, day planner.
Yeah.
So I was
think
like,
those are making a comeback too.
Are they? Yeah. Oh, because people are trying to not interface. Yeah, yeah.
I want my calendar to be analog.
Yeah, that's going to work within about 48 minutes. Yeah, right. For about 48 minutes until you get the fifth email moving a meeting, and you're like, fuck. trying to, this pencil's broken. So I got this file of facts or whatever the fuck day planner I had bought somewhere, and I really started I screwed a metal plate to the outside of it and started doing some sort of process, a treatment on the finish on the metal part. You know what I'm saying? On the other part, I found this mesh kind of fabric stuff, and I laid that on there with a glue, and then sanded that, and then lacquered that, and then sanded that down to some madness, you know. And so I got this fucking thing, right? And so the most salvageable pieces, maybe one or two things that were just sort of like framed watercolors, wound up coming home. You know, like luckily the drug wore off, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I've got to get my shit together and head home.
Not your Book of the Dead file of facts.
But that thing got thrown in my bag, of course, and came with me because that was my file of facts. Yeah, I took it with me. And at one point, you know, of course, that guy comes out, you know, and it's just like, what is that? What is that? And just like when you're sitting there looking at this piece of sheet metal that you've welded on, this is like pre-9/11, so no one cared what you carried on planes or whatever. And I got this file of facts with sheet metal like screwed to it. That prompts at least a raised eyebrow in my family.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, That's interesting. What you're doing there?
No, that's what you've been working on.
Anyway, so at the end of it, you know, there's no real.
Was that your father who? Had...
There's no real punchline here to this thing, other than the fact that it was and I guess the thing that struck me is that I'd taken something that was so geared towards productivity. A tool for organizing your life, you know,
and you got,
keeping
you
your
got
shit
real
together.
Productive. With
and
it.
I
you
was
got
just
real
like,
productive.
Let me show you how I interpret that, you know, and whatever. And then it was amazing. Like, I remember a couple of years later, like being in a Bloomies or something, and they had some, I don't even know if I can remember, I think it was. In Boston, and they had like they were selling some file of facts, like new nice ones, and I was like, time to buy a new one of those. I still have that thing.
You still have the file.
I still have it, and
the I'll, new one or the
old one, no. and I'll take a picture of it, and we can put pictures up on it.
Fuck.
It's pretty incredible. It looks like something. Yeah, I don't know what it looks like. Looks like it looks like Trent Reznor and Joseph Beuys had a coupling one night, and what was left, and I wouldn't say it was their baby, but what was left behind on the sheets looked something like that file of facts. Wow. I would say it really was. There's something really grim about it. But anyway, but there's a, you know.
So you were the Annie Hardy kind of tweaker.
I think, yeah. I mean,
you were the project, a craft.
I can't say that I really. Well, I you know, it's funny. Yes, there were certain things that I did like. Yeah, that where there was a bit of a projecting, and you know, I remember I found it was amazing. I found like a role. I did enjoy the dumpster dive, you know, and with that gal Nancy in it. And there was, I found a role of Bo Derek posters.
Ooh.
Of her, like basically from, like, it was either 10 or I think it was from 10 or whatever, one of those like classic Bo Derek movie posters. And I was like, oh my God, there's so many of these. Like, I should wallpaper one wall of my room with them, because this will just be, because that'll look like absolute insanity. So, like, I always, you know, and I had started looking at like design magazines by that point, and like was getting more and more into like looking at like, oh, I see, like someone like, you know, there's an irony in design too. Like, there's pretty, and then there's like, oh, people fucking with this kind of weird shit, yeah. You know? And I thought it was neat, and that goes real well with that fucking drug. You know what I mean? That whole tinkering goes well with that kind of drug. But I think usually most of these projects, I'd just lose interest. I'd be like, there was always something in me that would like usually come to and about halfway through, and I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Right.
Like, what are you doing? You putting Bo Derek posters on your wall of an apartment you don't own? Like, that's madness. Like, there's always the Rhode Islander comes out point in me for whatever it is, and it's just like, what are you, fucking retarded? Like, you know, that's just it. Like, this little short, angry guy is like, what's your problem, buddy? And that seems to smack me.
Yeah.
I had a toilet at one point in my
It's good to have a toilet, especially if you need to really piss. Yeah.
And I was with my ex-fiance Sasha, and I was like, you know what? I think it was an idea that she had. I'm not going to take credit for it. And she was like, we should paint it gold, you know? And I was like, no. I was like, dude, no, that's a horrible idea. And then she left me a little while later, and I was like, I'm going to get her back by painting that toilet gold.
Okay. That's an amazing thing. Here's a little thing that wasn't the holidays, but I spray painted. I thought it was a good idea at one point. I moved into this place that was downstairs. It was below this house. It was on Fernwood. And it was the ground floor. It was entirely, I think I told you guys maybe this, was entirely flea-ridden. Like so crazy, and I literally would spray myself down with some kind of fucking neurotoxin and have to go down there and try to sleep. I just seriously felt an itch. I shit you not. I have fucking scars from those friggin' fleas.
Oh, fuck.
And it was, I was like, what happened to you? Like, what happened? You've been in LA for about 88 minutes and you've degenerated into this maniac. What's going on? Why are you living in a flea experiment? You know? But, and honestly, that, I would say right now that flea pit might have been, I think that whole house saved about 4 or 5 people from, like, I don't know if I could say it saved our lives, but it saved us from like wasting another 10 years on just horrible idiocy, and like probably saved some lives, because we all got to a point where that place was so rancid. We were like, we have fucked up empirically. Mm-hmm. The universe is now eating us alive with things, bugs. It's time to go. Like, there's not, you know, like,
you're itching.
And
you're
I am, man. Yeah, it fucking freaked me out. We all moved. We all moved to Altadena. Like, we got so far away from that fucking house, deloused ourselves. It was incredible. But one time I painted the bathroom of that downstairs place. I was like, you know, it had like a light green layer paint. Someone had painted it, you know, some other fucking idiot like me. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to paint copper over that.
Ooh,
like, it has a patina. da, da, da. And then you start spray painting inside a 4x4 tiny bathroom, and then you're huffing insanity, and your friend comes down and is like, hey man, you're blue, stop painting in there.
Then you look like Kanye from that fucking, his latest opera.
Oh, man.
You guys seen that? Yeah, the silver Kanye?
Dude, sweet Kanye. That dude's lost the fucking plot.
Oh, Kanye. I love him.
I
love him. I can't, you know?
I hear you. It's two sides.
Mike, when you went home with those presents, how long had you been in LA at that point?
I'd literally for like 20 minutes. Listen, I strike hard. Like I get in hard.
How's LA, Mike?
No, it was such a bummer, and I remember it really broke my heart because you know, I'd come out here and I had been a pretty buttoned up guy and I'd been really on the hustle and kind of like fell right into this, you know, and I'd been rolling with some pretty bad behavior guys at City Hall for sure. And they kind of people who definitely did what they want
back in Rhode Island.
Yeah. But at this point, there was no there was none of that safety net. You know, there was no one to be like, hey, kids, straighten out. And I was just like back in kind of some crazed dorm, you know, basically style living, you know, and it was about 6 months. I mean, 6 months between the time I'd landed and came back for the holidays.
This is your first holiday.
And my family was like, you look like a fucking homeless person. What happened to you? Like, what happened? And I was like, that's a good question. I really don't, you know, I don't really know. Like, you know, fortunately, whatever. Thank God. I'm not, you know, and I mean that in a very broad sense. That took me by the whammy, and I'm sure it took other people by surprise as well. And then when I came back, I was like, I had a little bit of a reprieve, you know, but then still like fell in with, you know, friends who were just like having their moment, mm-hmm. like people who have gone on to have like full on like families and great careers and lives and everything else. But just at the time, like I was a heat seeking missile for trouble and, you know, I'm hanging out with other friends who are going and being doing bad behavior and spinning themselves up.
Lower companions.
Honestly, these were people who were like totally peers, like total. Mm. And you're just like, oh, wow. Okay. We're doing it over here. Right on. I see what's going on. I do believe, and I know this probably sounds incredibly naive, and it sounds, but I feel like maybe Lisa's episode kind of confirms a bit of this. The early 90s in Los Angeles was a fucking heady time. Not to say that, like, obviously the late 60s were pretty fucking crazy, too, and into the 70s. For sure. And, you know, there's always been a lot of partying, but things were popping off in this town.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hard to go anywhere where there wasn't something going on that was tempting or a bad decision. Like everywhere, like everybody was having crazy parties. It do away, you know, and again, that entirely may be, you know, someone who's at the mid-century point remembering, like everybody might have said their 20s was like that, but I do think you can say that Los Angeles is a unique place on the face of the earth in terms of a party scene. What do you got? New York, LA, Paris, London, like what, you know, fucking probably some cool spots that my bougie ass doesn't know.
But Dubai.
But anyway,
yeah,
well, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Happy holidays.
Feliz Navidad.
Exactly, Feliz Navidad. And and if you're out there and you enjoyed the episode, please follow us on Instagram at It Is All Bad. Slip into our DMs, into our DMs. And if you have a story you want to share, or you think you want to come on the show, or you know somebody who might want to come on the show, or if you just like to loan us some money, that'd be cool.
Hey, we'll take it.
We'll take it. That's fine. And there it is. Danny, a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Charlie, thank you.
Yes.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Charlie, you're all right.
Happy Charlie, holidays.
Charlie, happy holidays. Charlie's doing handsome.
Top me off.
He's already got the world in his fucking fingers. I don't even, you know. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.